This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today, in response to requests from some of the people who follow me on Facebook and listen to my radio program, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a triathlon that I just completed. I was able to compete a couple of weeks ago in the Riverhead Rocks Triathlon. Triathlons consist of consecutive swim, bike, run segments, ranging from short sprints, to medium Olympic distance. That's the official event of the Summer Olympics that some of you may have seen, which involves, just shy of a mile swim, a bike ride of 24 miles, and a run of 10 kilometers, which is 6.2 miles. Over the years, I've competed in about 15 triathlons. And I was a late bloomer. I started at the age of 38. It's somewhat of an advanced age to get involved in athleticism. I really didn't do a heck of a lot in terms of high school or college sports. I was kind of a bookworm, and I kind of used my brain, not so much my body. In my 20s, I started running and cycling and swimming again. And it wasn't until I was 38 that I did my first triathlon, sort of on a dare. You know, I was like, okay, why don't you do this? Okay, I'll do it. And, subsequently, I've been doing it for 25 years. So there are also Ironman triathlons, which are truly amazing, grueling endurance feats, which involve a swim of not just a mile, which is what I accomplished a couple of Sundays ago, but a swim of 2.5 miles, followed by a 115-mile bike ride, followed by a full marathon. And this is an all-day event, and just an incredible feat of endurance. And then there are half Ironman competitions. These are extremely popular. They sell out literally within minutes. And even though there are dozens and dozens of them across the country, people scramble for places. There's so many triathlon enthusiasts these days. You can learn about triathlons on the website www.olympic.org/triathlon if you want to find out more about triathlon sports. So, the way it works is that you get up super early and you arrive at the race site about 5:30 in the morning when the sun is coming up. These events are usually held in summer, so the days are longer. And then you set up your equipment, you set up your bike in a transition area, and you pull out your wetsuit, depending on the water temperature. Sometimes it's useful to wear a wetsuit because the water temperatures are cold. Besides, the wetsuit provides you with extra buoyancy, and you can go faster. But on the day that I did the triathlon in Riverhead, the temperatures are really high. And it was an optional wetsuit day. Most people decided not to use a wetsuit because, water temperature's around 80 degrees. So, the swim was in, what is called an estuary, where the Peconic River goes into Peconic Bay. So it's kind of a marshy area that where the water is flat and semi-sweet, a little salty. And you do the swim. You swim around swim buoys. Then you get out of the water. And then you go into the transition area, and you jump on your bike, and off you go, riding across the rolling hills of Long Island for, in this case, 25 miles. It wasn't a regulation course. It was a little extra that we did. And then at the end of it, you got to do a six-mile run, which was the worst part of it on this day because it was hammer hot. The swim went like a breeze for me. I was, did great, nice and cool swim. The bike ride, at least you have the wind to cool you off, as you're moving along at a fast clip. But then you go to that final segment, and you lace on your running shoes, and it's kind of daunting because this is actually the first triathlon where I took the liberty of walking a little bit during the final run, which I've never done. Usually I just sort of slog through it, even though I'm a slow runner. I just put one foot in front of the other and don't stop to walk. But in this case, I just, after doing about half the run, 3 miles, I noticed that there were a lot of people walking, and for good reason, because a lot of people were getting into the red zone when it comes to hyperthermia, and they recognized it, and they sensibly decided to cool down, stoke their stamina with some Gatorade, grab some ice water. Some of them threw it over their heads and cooled down with it. And I was actually kind of encouraged because even though I decided to walk for part of the course, I was accompanied when I was walking by a couple of Ironman triathletes. One guy was 41, the other guy was 49 or 50. And if those guys were walking that day, I didn't feel so bad about slowing my pace a little bit. Only 7 athletes completed the race in my age group. My age group is now 59 to 64. I actually raced officially at the age of 64, even though I'm only 63. It's the age you are is the age that you will be in the calendar year, and I will turn 64 in October. So there's a field of about 200, and there were only 7 athletes in my age group. There's actually only 1 athlete in the 65 to 69 age group, and he won his division. He had no competition. So I thought that was pretty cool. If I do the race next year, I'm probably a shoe-in to be a winner. Actually, in the last time I did this, I won my age group, but there were only, I think, 5 other athletes in the 59 to 64 age group. This year, I did it considerably slower, perhaps because I'm older, but also because the conditions were just devastating that day. Really, really hot. So the question is, why do I do it? What's in it for me? It's kind of like the movie American Beauty. If you recall that Academy Award winning movie starring Kevin Spacek, at one point he's flabby, middle aged guy, and he decides he's going to get on an exercise kick, and he's out jogging painfully when his athletic neighbors run by and wave to him, and they chat him up and say, "What's your training goal? Aerobic fitness, and endurance, or strength?" And he thinks for a moment and says, "Look good naked." So it's a matter of personal vanity. He doesn't know much about training. What's in it for me? Well, I'm a medical nutritionist. My practice has an anti-aging focus, and I like to explore the limits of performance in terms of, trying out supplements, in terms of exploring exercise, challenging myself to fight the ravages of aging. And I, counsel a lot of people who have that as a personal goal. And so through my own personal explorations, hopefully I can shed light on what works and what doesn't. And gearing up for a triathlon helps me personally experience what works best for promoting energy and stamina, and gives me a little bit of a sense of how to properly train for injury prevention and to understand the process of recovery, because you can't just hammer continuously if you plan to have a long athletic career. I mean, you could see that, you could see what happens to baseball players. For example, the New York Yankees virtually retired their entire aging roster this season, with A-Rod retiring and Teixeira retiring, and them trading some of their older expensive players away to rejuvenate their team. You've got David Ortiz from the Boston Red Sox, who is having a banner year, but he's going to retire. He's determined to retire. He's 40, and he's done. And even though people say, why are you retiring? You're having the best year ever. You're leading the league in doubles. You're hitting a crazy number of RBIs. And, you know, he said, I'm in pain. I can't do this to my body anymore. And so, athletic careers are limited by a variety of factors. And you know, what are some of the factors that actually prevent people from doing triathlons into their 90s? I mean, why not? I mean, just keep training. And in fact, there are a few phenoms, but there are really a rarity. You know, people who are in their 70s and even up into their 80s who continue to do triathlons. But as I said, the field winnows out. My age group, 59 to 64, only 7 athletes, and then only 1 athlete past the age of 64 in my competition that I did a couple of weeks ago. So what are some of the factors that keep people from just being ever-ready bunnies and going on and on and on and doing this forever? Well, mitochondrial decay is one of the factors. Mitochondria are the powerhouses of the cells, and they deteriorate as you age. Their ability to harness energy from fuel declines, and that's a sort of programmed aging. It's accelerated when people are exposed to free radicals. It's accelerated due to genetics. It's accelerated when people don't have adequate nutritional support with things that support the mitochondria, like coenzyme Q10, nicotinamide riboside, magnesium, the variety of B vitamins that support mitochondrial function. And so you just can't harness energy appropriately as you age. It's just a natural process, but sometimes it's accelerated by poor diet and lack of proper nutritional support, elevated blood sugar, so on. There's also an endocrine decline that occurs as you age. And some of it is andropause, loss of androgens in men, loss of female sex hormones, decline in DHA. DHA is very important for performance, and I take it. It's actually, I think, a WADA illegal, World Anti-Doping Association illegal substance. But it's available over the counter. It's sort of a mild anabolic steroid, which helps to fend off the natural decline of androgens that occurs with aging. And so so these are some of the things that happen. Also, you tend to have a change in your insulin resistance as you age, particularly if you don't exercise, if you eat too much sugar, if you get overweight. Insulin resistance, in addition to raising your blood sugar, it prevents the blood sugar from getting to your muscles. And that, you know, there are very few, athletes. In fact, I'm pretty sure there are no athletes doing triathlons well into their middle age who have a high degree of insulin resistance, because it simply prevents the sugar, the fuel, from being burned or utilized. Also, as you age, obesity kicks in. And for most people, there's a progressive weight gain as they get older. But at the same time, there's something called sarcopenia, which is for every decade past the age of 40 or so or 50, you lose about 10% of your muscle mass. And this is due to some extent to inactivity, but it's also inevitable. This, you know, really, you're not going to see a lot of centenarians who are going to bench press like 20-year-olds unless they invent some kind of miracle substance to prevent the muscle decline that is an inevitable process of aging. There are cardiorespiratory issues that slow people down. People have potentially circulatory problems. The heart muscle gets weaker. People have arrhythmias that prevent them from exercising at a high level. And that occurs more and more frequently as you age. And then there are respiratory issues. Some people who grow up in urban environments, even if they don't smoke, are exposed to bad air. And there's a decline in the efficiency of the lungs to extract oxygen from the air. It just happens. Then, of course, there are injuries and orthopedic problems. Chronic injuries develop, especially, you know, with or without high level of athleticism. And orthopedic problems are so rampant these days, we see a lot of people in their 50s who have knee replacements and hip replacements and shoulder replacements. It's due to inflammatory conditions or in some cases due to wear and tear. So these orthopedic problems get in the way of people competing and basically thin the herd of athletes who are competing well into middle age. Then there are psychological factors. Psychological factors are important because some people just don't have the motivation, the wherewithal. They suffer from depression. They suffer from anxiety. They don't have the right psychological orientation to pursue exercise. Perhaps they have terrible insomnia as an accoutrement to their psychological issues. And insomnia, of course, has a devastating effect on athletic performance and energy output. So these are some things that can get in the way. Digestion. You know, one of the things that's necessary is if you're going to put out a lot of energy, you have to be able to assimilate a lot of the macronutrients and micronutrients as well. So if you have a poor digestive system, I mean, obviously, if you have, a chronic, terrible constipation, or if you have terrible diarrhea and urgency, it's hard to complete a race. I get that. But in addition, if you have malabsorption may prevent you from assimilating the nutrients that you need to maintain muscle volume, the protein that's constantly needs to be replenished when you're repairing muscles, but also to extract energy from fat and carbohydrates. So if you need to have a good digestive system to be able to continue at a high level in athleticism. And then, of course, there are life circumstances. You know, people who have, really challenging economic circumstances. It's hard to have the luxury to be able to exercise regularly. Or perhaps you've got terrible family stress. You've got problems with your parents, your kids, your relatives. You've got daunting life issues, and that often really puts a dent in your ability to exercise consistently. And I have to say that fortunately, from the standpoint of these things that I've mentioned, I've been lucky to maintain an athletic career that I started relatively late in life, without so much interruption that, finally, at some point, you just give up the ghost. You say, look, I've got too many orthopedic injury liabilities. I'm too heavy to begin exercising again. My digestion is off. My life circumstances don't permit. I'm just lost my motivation or my mojo, and so on and so on. I've been fortunate enough to be in a position where there's a certain amount of genetic assets that I have. Some of the things that I've been doing dietarily and supplement-wise have helped me prevent inflammatory conditions, injuries, and my lifestyle has permitted this and, in fact, encouraged this. So in addition, here's another, in addition to the just experiencing it, you know, and exploring the thresholds of performance, what works and what doesn't work. Another good reason to exercise is I value my brain, and everyone should. And, you know, they talk about puzzles and brain teasers and various types of programs that you can purchase on the internet to stimulate your brain, brain games, things like that. But when it comes to preserving brain function, the most well-substantiated method of regenerating your brain cells and preventing the inevitable shrinkage of parts, critical parts of the brain, like the hippocampus responsible for memory, is exercise. And in fact, there was a recent posting about an article in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease by Dr. David Perlmutter. He didn't write the article, but he posted it. And what the article states is that regular intense exercise is the single most reliable way of staving off brain aging. They looked at elderly subjects, and what they found is those who expended more calories, who had more aerobic exercise, actually experienced an increase in the size of various brain areas. It's kind of like, you know, people go hither and thither and yon for stem cell therapy, which I am sometimes a little dubious about because I don't think it's quite ready for prime time. They're trying to regenerate their bodies and brains. But actually, the most proven way of creating stem cell repair in your body is to challenge it with exercise. You will get BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is like Miracle-Gro for your neurons in your central nervous system and brain. And that's, you know, it's free, it's available, it's something that we should be tapping into to stave off memory decline and dementia, and of course, in the worst case scenario, Alzheimer's disease, which is on the rise, because as we develop better ways of surviving past, you know, our usual expiration date, which in the past has been around, you know, 65 or 70, the brain is more likely to deteriorate. And we're seeing an epidemic rise in neurodegenerative diseases. So exercise is a reliable way of fending that off. Okay, I'm going to pause at this point and tell you a little bit more about the triathlon and my pathway to a comeback in 2016, because I hadn't done a triathlon in 4 years. And I'll tell you a little bit about my travails and how I overcame them in part two of today's Intelligent Medicine podcast.